Welcome to the McFarland United Church of Christ podcast of sermons. Listen as Pastor Kerry Parker unfolds the meaning of Scripture and how it relates to today's life. More information about McFarland UCC follows the sermon.
There's a moment shared by comedy clubs, avant-garde theater performances, classrooms, and awkward meetings all over the world. You wouldn't think those places would have much in common, but human behavior is a funny thing. In every one of those settings, you can see exactly the same response from a teenager or a senior citizen or a mid-career professional. I'm talking about the moment when the person up front starts scanning the room for a volunteer. And there's a range of reactions, right? One response is the look at the floor. If I don't make eye contact, then they're not going to call on me. About 30% of the room will do that. Now, one third of those will begin a panicked hyperventilating consideration of what they're going to do if their strategy fails, and ponder the physics of sinking bodily into the floor out of sheer embarrassment. This is the preferred response of introverts and those who haven't done their homework. Now, most of the rest will look around with a mild rush of adrenaline, curious whether it will be their neighbor picked, or maybe the person down at the end of the row. They've calculated the odds, and they figure that their risk of being called on stage is really quite low. So they might as well enjoy the moment. Call them the good sports. They'll rise to the occasion if called for, but have no particular disappointment in not being called on. Nothing wrong with being in the middle of the pack, being an observer, enjoying the show, and dabbling in participation. Which leaves us with the third category. The folks who are doing everything possible to be noticed by the person calling for volunteers. Now, I did a little internet poll of my friends the other day, and they were unanimous in calling it the horse shack. Those of you who knew Welcome Back Cotter. Otherwise known as, ooh, 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 call on me. In contrast with the first group who are shrinking into their seats, if it were possible to levitate, the individuals in this group would do so. They would levitate above their seats while raising their hands and crying out that infamous, ooh, ooh, ooh. Now, there have been some disparaging names given to this group. The strivers, the climbers, the do-gooders, the teacher's pet, the boss's favorite. We tend to think it's all about them. Oh, they just want the attention. But it's not necessarily all about them. As much as we like to joke about it, it actually takes a hefty dose of self-esteem to pull off that ooh-ooh moment. Putting yourself out there doesn't happen without a healthy dose of self-assurance. If you're going to raise your hand in a public setting where the entire room's eyes will be on you, you have to have a certain comfort level in your own skin, in your preparation for the moment, in your ability to contribute to the order of the day. The reality is, things would grind to a screeching halt without these folks. The people who call out almost instantly, "I'll do it," are the staple volunteers of scout troops and parent booster groups. They're the ones who sell most of the tickets, coordinate the fundraising dinners, and recruit the rest of us to fill the holes in the volunteer schedule. If the world were populated totally with the "please buy everything that's holy, don't call on me," and the "I'll do it if somebody asks me," good ideas would die for want of a champion. The reality is that something miraculous really does happen in the background every time a volunteer stands up and says, "Here I am. Send me." Regardless of what you may have heard, these categories aren't static. You're not doomed to be the introvert who doesn't do her homework. You're not doomed to be the Horshack. If you are the sink into the floor type, you may not always react that way throughout your life, and I'm living proof. I was the shy cousin. You may find yourself in the middle most of the time, but have one setting in your life where you push forward and say, "Here I am." With God's help, the miracle happens and things can change. Isaiah the prophet in today's scripture passage makes a huge journey from, "Oh, I can't possibly be adequate, please, please don't look at me," to, "If not me, then who? Ooh, ooh, call on me." His book shares with us this dream or this vision about a heavenly throne room. He tells us of a place large enough for God and a throng of angels. He's like Jack in Jack and the Beanstalk, where he is dwarfed by everything. This place is so huge, God is so huge, that just the hem of God's robe fills his vision. Six-winged angels sing of God's holiness, and their combined voices are loud enough to shake this vast building. Next to that, you'd be excused for feeling small, infinitesimal, and Isaiah trembles in fear. Because next to the great God who created heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, who are we? How can we, who were created out of dust and clay, possibly bear God's presence? How awkward, how limited, how imperfect. Sink into your chair, swallowed into the earth, insignificant. The only reasonable response is the one Isaiah gives: "Woe is me. We're only human." And then something changes. One day, God touches us. God sends a messenger, maybe this spirit that moves in our hearts, maybe some conviction of our own worth. Maybe a flesh and blood human being who says the right thing at the right time. But however it happens, an angel speaks and says, "Who are you? You are clay and spirit. You are a child of God. You have divine breath in you. You are forgiven of your limitations. You have been freed to live as the one you were created to be. To worship. To love. To listen. To serve." Now, there have been a lot of names given this too. You could call it conversion. You could call it Christ. You could call it grace. On that occasion, you are granted a spiritual backbone. You are empowered to stand in God's presence among saints and angels. You are invited to the heavenly court. You, child of God, stand witness to God's concern for this world. Remember, sisters and brothers, that God doesn't always offer a specific invitation, hand-addressed and laid out on a silver platter. He didn't tell Mr. Isaiah, "I have a job for you, Isaiah, you specifically, and I am sending you to my people." That's not the way today's call story worked. Sometimes the call's direct and personal, volunteer management 101. Amanda Jones, I need you to coordinate this Wednesday night soup kitchen. David Keith, I need you to get up and preach, even if you're petrified. And sometimes, the invitation is cast out on the sea, into the wide world, with a y'all come. We need somebody to... Who will go, and whom will I send? And too often, we look down at our laps, terrified to make eye contact. Convinced that we're not the ones, that we're overhearing a message meant for somebody else. The angels will do it. Somebody will make it happen. Does anybody remember the old Family Circus cartoons where there was this little ghost-like not me character? Kids would say, oh, not me. Not me. Resist that impulse. Resist that inner voice calling you to sit back. Isaiah is here to tell us there is no somebody. There is no somebody else. If you look around that throne room, the only figure that you can make out clearly is your own. There's only you. You and your baptism and the divine breath that marks you as a servant child of God. The success of God's mission to the world, to this community, depends on our individual willingness to stick up our hands, to step forth, and say, yes, I'm here. Send me. Amen.
McFarland United Church of Christ is located at 5710 Anthony Street in McFarland, Wisconsin. To learn about worship times, events, our use, charities we support, and other fun items, check out our website at mcfarlanducc.org. Pastor Kerry Parker and the rest of the congregation invite you to join us in the life of McFarland UCC.